Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, you heard that first text, the one we've been joking about. It's wonderful, wonderful stuff. Tough to read for sure, but wonderful stuff. Paul addresses this letter to the church in Rome. And he addresses it this way, just as we would address a letter to someone that we cared for. We would start with an opening. And this is how he addresses it: to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints. Now, saints, I think, is an interesting descriptor. We've talked about it before in here. When we unpacked Ephesians at the beginning of this year, we talked on an entire Sunday about saints. But I want to talk a little more about it because I think it has some context for us this day that is really, really important to us. It appears from that line, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, it appears that Paul is addressing the entire congregation, right? He says, all God's beloved. And it appears that he's addressing all of them as saints. As saints. Now, considering that the Greek word that Paul uses for saints, hagios, it means holy ones. Holy ones. We have to wonder whom exactly he's talking to. I mean, how many holy ones were there, right? Yes, of course, that word saint, it applies to holy ones such as Mother Teresa, maybe Billy Graham, perhaps Dallas Willard, maybe folks like that. But surely it can't pertain to the ordinary stumbling likes of our family here at FHPC, can it? Well, it seems that it can. It seems that it does. And it seems that that's how God wants us to see ourselves. Saints is Paul's noun of choice for the people of God, all of the people of God. Men and women distinguished only as no longer lost, but found as being ordinary followers of Christ. Ordinary followers of Christ. Not Mother Teresa, not Billy Graham, not Dallas Willard. You and you and you and you and me. Saints. Including, Paul says here, yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. It is clear he is addressing everyone in Rome. And by extension, he's addressing everyone here. Saints. You are all saints. Saints is Paul's word for us. And I think we need to take that with some seriousness. Saints are set aside. Saints are made holy. Saints are used for God's purpose, not their own. We need to think about that. That's our calling. It seems important to me to think about this morning because this, of course, is Consecration Sunday. And because the verb consecrate literally means to make sacred, consacrare, make sacred, or to devote something or someone irrevocably to the worship of God. That's what consecration means. That's what consecration does. This is what the saints, the holy ones who went before us did as they built this church on this hilltop. They consecrated themselves and their work here to God that it might endure as a testimony to their worship of that same God. This church is holy because their love and commitment was holy. Because of their loving consecration, they left us a place unlike any other. A church. A place where friend and stranger alike can encounter friends. In John's gospel, Jesus called us friends and calls us to be friends. It's a place where friend and stranger alike can encounter family. In 1 John, the writer says that all who believe in Christ have been born of God. And as children of God, we're all one family. It's a place where friend and stranger alike can encounter home. Ephesians tells us that we're all part of the household of God. It's a place where friend and stranger can encounter Jesus. His final words in the New Testament tell us that his Spirit now resides within each one of us. And it's a place where friend and stranger alike can encounter love, a rare thing in this world. We've talked a lot about that this year. We can encounter love. Paul tells the Ephesians that Christ loves the church as his bride. And in the Roman letter, he calls Christ's followers to let love be genuine. What a command. Let love be genuine. As saints of this generation, this is our heritage. This is our heritage. And we are called to be its stewards, maintaining it, growing it, planting the seeds of it, sharing it with the world. The heart of our church is its people. The heart of our church is us. 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 All of us. We're the church. It's not the building. The church is the spirit that's been left to us by all those saints that went before. And those saints that preceded us are still with us in some very, very real ways. The memory of their faithfulness guides us. The dedicated work of their hands surrounds us, encourages us. Their fellowship, their continuing fellowship in our memories and in our spirits calls us forward to continue the work that they started. Do you ever do something around here? Those of you that have been here for a while, do you ever undertake something? Work in the kitchen, work in the yard, work in, out here in the narthex, do something in the office. Do you ever do that and think about those that went before? I guarantee you, when we start putting up Christmas lights here in a week or so, there'll be a lot of thoughts of Jim Bates. It's the way it is. So we remember them, and we smile at the life that we are blessed to share with them. Most recently, Ray Schmidt. And we give thanks for them. Heartfelt thanks. So as their pictures are going to flash before us here in a little while this morning, or as we stroll through the columbarium and we survey all those niches, all those plaques, Tibbetts, Brisbane, Bates, Wyman, Atchison, Covault, Stavely, Morris. We hear those names and we remember. We hear those names and we think about what they gave us. Resch, Martinson, Runick, Tuttle, Johnson, Ryan, Jones, Dresser. Some are more familiar to us than others, but all are important in their way. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. This is what I came to say. These memories must become more for us than mere sentiment if they are to have substance and value and life, which is what they deserve, because that's what they gave us. They must become incentive to us to consecrate ourselves and our giftings now in our time, because they consecrated themselves and their blessings in theirs. You see, now it's our turn. Now it's our turn to take our place in that procession of the saints that went before us, so that we might ensure a continuing procession of saints coming behind us, so that Jesus Christ may be lifted for worship on this hilltop now and through all eternity. And so we gather humbly on this Consecration Sunday, and we earnestly renew our commitment to this church and the saints who made it their life work. And we take our place in the procession of the faithful coming forward to pledge our gifts and ourselves to ensure that the church we've inherited endures to bless those who have yet to come behind us. As to those saints that went before, we feel their presence as we gather. We feel their joy as we open our spirits to worship as they did. And we feel their blessing as we open our hands to contribute. They're right there and they're right here. I am convinced you've heard me say this in memorial services. I am convinced that only the thinnest of membranes separates the saints on earth from those in heaven. That's what the author of Hebrews is talking about when he says we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. They're right there, almost visible, certainly perceptible. And I'm convinced that those who went before continue to urge us on in the work that they began. So let us do that. Let us do that this morning with our pledges of finance, our pledges of time, our pledges of commitment, our pledges of faithfulness. Therefore, beseeches the author of the letter to the Hebrews, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen.